our first faith promise to support the Kinnamans' work in England. In fact, at that point, it was the Faust and Kinnamans in England for several years. But our first faith promise was on November 3rd, 1991, which means we're completing our 20th, entering into our 21st faith promise. And we've continued that as just an opportunity for individuals, families, Sunday school classes, life groups to be able to support the work of the Kinnamans in England. They receive support from our missions budget on a monthly basis, but also beyond that would be support that many of us give to them, whether we make that weekly, monthly, annually, however that might be. And the cards this morning are a commitment that some of you have chosen to make or will choose to make for the coming year. And again, that can be done annually, monthly, weekly, whatever works best for you. But if you allow us to know what that is, that helps the Kinnamans be able to plan their support. And in terms of mechanics of how do you make that gift, there are envelopes at the Welcome Center and at the Ministry Center for the Kinnamans. And you can just pick one of those up, several of those up, and put your check or however you want to take care of that in there and place in the offering whatever week you want, and that'll get to the right spot. But we've been doing that for several years. And in that always happens around the 1st of November, we usually take some time end of October, beginning of November, just to reemphasize the need for world missions, world evangelism, taking the gospel to other people, other places. And I've noticed that whether it's here or if I've heard people speak about missions in other places, there is something that's almost always said. I said it last week. I heard Ralph say it last week. I heard Larry Kinnaman say it 2 weeks ago. And it's just this statement as we talk about missions. We'll often say, not everyone is called to the mission field. By mission field, in this particular statement, we're talking about other people, other places. We're all called, as Gary mentioned, we're all called to take the gospel to anyone and everyone that's around us. But not everyone is called to the mission field, but everyone can participate. But everyone can participate. And by participating, we most often are talking about a very real participation as we pray for our missionaries, as we support them financially, as we find some other way in which we can connect with them and encourage them and strengthen them and help them. Not everyone is called to the mission field, but everyone can participate. Now, I agree with that statement. But at the same time, I think it's imperative that we as a church and that all churches, at least periodically, present a challenge that there may be some of us who go. Periodically, we need to make sure that we're just presenting a challenge. If God is developing in your heart a desire to go to other people or other places, it's imperative that we as a church just join God in that call upon your own life. So that's what this sermon is about. So in one sense, it's a sermon for everybody, because all of us are to take the gospel to anyone and everyone. But in another sense, this sermon isn't for everyone. This sermon is in particular for those that God might be developing or challenging to go to another part of the world and share the message of Jesus there. So from that perspective, this sermon may not be for you. Or then again, maybe it is. Do you know where missionaries come from? Where missionaries come from? They come from churches just like this. In fact, over the years, we've had 16 individuals from Bethany who have gone out into the mission field, taking the gospel to other people, other places. At least 16 people who have either grown up here or spent a significant amount of time here to where they refer to Bethany as their home church. So over the years, we've had 16. We've also had, beyond that, 26 from this congregation who have gone into vocational ministry. But missionaries come from churches just like this. In a moment, we're going to look at just three verses from Acts chapter 13. But before we do, I want to introduce someone to you. For some of you, she will be familiar. This will be someone you know. Probably for most of us, this will be someone that you've maybe never met before. Her name is Donna Webster. At the time that she was here in part of Bethany, she was Donna Krieger. She holds the prestigious title of being the first missionary sent out from Bethany. And Donna, if you would just kind of come and join me, and just like for everyone to meet you and be able to talk to you just a little bit. This is Donna. And her husband is here with her. And she is joined by good friends Kay and Don Vanderloot down here as well. If you want to just, I'll kind of move her here closer to you. So whatever is comfortable. This one, that one. Okay. Well, let me begin by just saying welcome. And if you would, start by giving us kind of a picture of what you did during your years serving on the mission field. You know, where you went, what you did, what that work involved.
I served at Mashoko Christian Mission, which is in now Zimbabwe, Africa. It was Southern Rhodesia back when I was there in the 60s. And I was a nurse and served there at the hospital.
What was it that kind of prompted you? Kind of give us, if you would, just some background as far as once you left here from high school, where did you go, what did you do, and what kind of prompted you to go in this direction?
Well, actually, I got my mission, my passion for missions as a little girl growing up in Bethany. Missions was always a huge part of Bethany, and I'm so thrilled it still is. And when I was a little girl, we talked about missionaries. We had missionaries visit, and it was just a part of our church life. And I remember one particular Sunday evening, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I was very young, but David and Lois Reese from India, who are both now deceased, but they came and to Bethany on Sunday evening and made a presentation about their work there. And it just really touched my heart. From that moment on, I was turned on to missions. And I just became very passionate about missions. And I thought, someday I want to be a missionary. Another person who had a big influence later in my life when I was in Ball State taking nursing school, I met Madonna Birgit Spratt. Some of you may know her. She's not from Bethany, but she's from central Indiana, up in the Tipton area. And she had graduated from Ball State before me, also as a nurse. I did not know her at school because she had graduated the time I went to school there. But I met her, and she was on her way to Zimbabwe, Southern Rhodesia, as a missionary nurse to serve at Mashoko. And we became friends, and we wrote back and forth. That was long before the day of email. When she was home on furlough, she came and stayed with me. By then, I was at Lincoln Christian College. And she was one that specifically recruited me to go to Mashoko.
Okay. So you finished your nurse's training at Ball State.
Yes.
And then you went to Lincoln for a period of time.
Right. Correct.
All right. And then from there, how long did you spend in Zimbabwe?
I was there from 65 to 68.
Okay, 65 to 68.
Right.
And what did your work involve while you were there?
Well, I was a nurse, and so we had a hospital there still functioning. And just anything and everything you can think of in the medical.
Okay.
We just, a broad spectrum of things that we did.
Now, that would be the same location that later Jill Shaw would have gone to.
Yes,
right?
I was going to mention that. Most of you are probably familiar with Mashoko because later, many years later, Jill Shaw served there.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Now, you've already mentioned the Reeses, which we still support, Emerson Usha.
Right, I know Emerson Usha.
And, What role did Bethany play in regard to your going onto the mission field?
Well, a huge role because, of course, I grew up at Bethany, as I mentioned, and became a Christian at Bethany. And that was the biggest influence in my life was the missions emphasis and everything at Bethany.
Okay,
right.
Now, since that time, I know you've still been very much involved in missions.
Yes.
So if you would describe kind of your connection with missions still today.
My husband and I both have been very involved in numerous ways. We are now very active at East 91st Street Christian Church. And of several things we did, I served on the missions team at 91st Street for many years. And I felt like the Lord gave me such a passion after serving on the field for those few years. I have such a heart and such a passion for missionaries and missionary families. That's just, the Lord just gave me that heart. So I think I felt like one of my biggest roles in missions team at East 91st Street Christian Church was to always be an advocate for our missionary families. And so I thought that was what the Lord called me to do. That was very rewarding. And Then also my husband's sister and brother-in-law were missionaries with Pioneer Bible Translators in the Congo for many years, and we were their forwarding agents. Okay. And that's another wonderful way to serve missionaries. That was brought us great joy. Other ways is at East 91st Street to kind of help get started a prayer ministry for our missionaries. And I got that idea from Bethany, because back years ago when I was on the mission field, they had a prayer program. Maybe you still do, I hope, something similar anyway, where families in the congregation were assigned to pray for their missionaries, you know, like for a two-week period or a month period, I can't remember. And I'd get a letter from so-and-so, such-and-such a family, usually someone I knew, because Bethany was much smaller then, and they were praying for me that period of time. And it was, you know, when missionaries say they need your prayers, they really mean it. They really mean it. So we got something kind of similar started, a little bit different, but similar started at East 91st Street. Now, Autumn Faust Overbay is taking that over, and, well, she is doing a lot of things with missions at East 91st Street. another area that I've become very involved in is children's missions, partially because of my own personal experience catching my passion when I was a very young child. And I read some statistics somewhere where 85% of missionaries catch their vision as children. So we started a real missions program for our children. Where we have just everything from preschoolers. I was kind of responsible from preschoolers through elementary school. Okay. All kinds of missions activities and programs. And Larry and came and talked to one of the elementary school classes one time. And Debbie gave me some ideas at one point for handcrafts and things. And again, now others are doing that now. But we just felt that was very, very, very important. Most recently, we have developed a missions interest, what we call missions interest group. People in the congregation are specifically really interested in missions. And we have a pitch in at our house once a month and gather some families together. And then missionaries that are traveling through, we have them come and speak to us and talk to us. And that's been very rewarding. Again, Larry and Debbie have been our guests because... as you said in your article in the Bethany Bugle here last week, those missionaries, once we meet them, share a meal with them, they're no longer just pictures on a newsletter. They're somebody we know. So we love doing that. Yeah. So those are some of the ways that we've been involved.
Good. I appreciate that. And it's good to know the one person that reads my article. I thought it was my mom, but it's you who reads my article.
I read it.
All right, good. Well, thank you for coming and sharing with us. I know you're going to be here for second service as well. And if you would, I'll just maybe after the service, you want to kind of stay where you are. And then anyone who'd want to come up and see you or greet you or meet you, they'll know right where to find you. That'd be okay?
That'd be fine. Right.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much. Thank you. Donna was the first. But as mentioned, there were 15 others, or have been 15 others, who have followed in her footsteps and have gone to share the message of Jesus and the love of Jesus and other people with other places. Missionaries come from churches just like this. It'd be interesting to know how many people in this room have ever felt some prompting to serve as a missionary, or who presently feel some type of prompting to serve as a missionary. In fact, I would encourage you that if that's something that's ever happened or something that you feel now, just to take a moment and write that on an information card and drop it in the box as you leave, or write it on a note and hand it to me. It'd be just interesting to know how God moves and prompts. And not that if he has prompted you and you have not chosen to go in that direction yet, that you're necessarily living in disobedience. I think that he prompts several, and out of those several that he prompts, then there are some who follow through with that and go to other people, other places. But turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 1091. Acts chapter 13. I want to read just the first three verses. It says, "In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So the church at Antioch, the believers there in the city of Antioch, had gathered together to worship. And it says that as they had gathered to worship, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, we don't know how it is that the Holy Spirit spoke. It could have been an audible voice, as the Father chose to speak at Jesus' baptism. "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." It could have been an audible voice. It also says that there were at least five identified in verse 1 as prophets and teachers. Possibly the Holy Spirit chose to speak through one of them and to in some way let them know about his plans for Barnabas and for Saul. But we don't know how it is the Holy Spirit spoke. But it does say that he spoke, and he did so in such a way that everyone in the church knew what was to take place. There might be some of you who right now, or in the days and weeks or months or years ahead, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about serving other people in other places. It might begin with just an inner conviction that you have. It might be through a verse of Scripture that you read and you just can't get away from. It just keeps pulling you back and pulling you back and pulling you back, that speaks to you about going to other people in other places. It might be someone you know or someone that you don't know who speaks some word to you that all of a sudden sets this burden on your heart to go to other people in other places and share with them the love and message of Jesus. The Holy Spirit spoke and told them to set apart Barnabas and Saul. I think it's also important that we see that this happened in the context of church. And by church, I'm not talking about the gathering as much as the context of a community of people. They happened to be gathered when they spoke, but I'm sure that it was beyond just that one gathering, but there was what took place in the midst of that community, that group of believers. Saul, who would later be known as Paul, and Barnabas were called to this ministry in the midst of a relationship they had as part of a church. Their calling began and was confirmed within the church. And then it says the church fasted and prayed and placed their hands on them, which was a kind of a way to officially affirm them and recognize them and send them out. It was in the midst of church. It could be that if you are presently or maybe someday convicted or prompted about serving as a missionary, that it's no accident that you're here at Bethany. It could be there's no accident that you're here. Possibly God has placed you here or let you grow up here on purpose as a part of a church where you can not only know the names of missionaries, but as Donna mentioned, you can actually meet and become familiar with people like Larry and Debbie Kinneman and Jill Shaw and Donna and Matthew and Scotty and Amanda Blackburn, or Roger and Beth Wiseman, who were here last week. Possibly God has placed you here or allowed you to grow up here because within this church, going to the mission field isn't an out of the ordinary thing. It's something that is kind of expected, that God's going to raise up people from amongst this church to go to other people in other places. Or possibly God has placed you here, allowed you to grow up here, because if you make that choice to go, there are people here who can help you, who have walked that path before, who can give some guidance and some help as you pursue God's leading. Paul and Barnabas were called to go in the context, in the midst of the relationships they had in the church. So where do missionaries come from? From churches just like this. So I wanted you to have an opportunity to meet Donna, and to kind of hear from our first missionary. But we also have our newest missionaries, and I want to have Scott and Angela Michener come. And Scott and Angela are presently in support raising mode. So we're going to have them come back in a few weeks to talk a little bit more specifically about what they are going to be doing in Dominican Republic. But I wanted them to come this morning and just talk to us a little bit about how they ended up where they are. Come on. You can do whatever you want, and it'll confuse the people in the back as they try to figure out who's who.
So. Three.
Okay. So let me kind of ask you, if you would, just tell us your story. You know, how did you end up making the decision to go into missions? And you can both kind of share in that or individually, however you want to do it.
Yeah, well, we'll probably fight back and forth. That is a big question. And I think really what it is for us is this is kind of the way we like to tell the story. And that is, you know, we know some people kind of get the blinking, flashing lights that say, yay, you go to the Dominican Republic or whatever. And that's kind of their moment. And for us, it really wasn't that way. For us, it was much like you were just talking about. And that is, in the midst of life, in the midst of all the circumstances that were going on, God just started to plant a seed. And then that seed started to grow, and we started to think about it as we met each other, because I was actually thinking about missions before we met. She was thinking about missions before we met. And so it just kind of all happened at once. But the reality is that, you know, in high school, I wasn't supposed to go on a missions trip to the Dominican Republic with Anderson University because I was in high school. And yet I got to go because somebody wanted me to go. Angela went to the Dominican Republic on a missions trip in high school before we met. And then one of my teachers from Liberty decided that he was going to leave Liberty a few years down the road when I was in college. And he decided that that he was going to go to the Dominican Republic. And then we started talking about it. And so I'm starting to get, you know, even more interested in it after being, you know, after having been on the trip. And I don't know if is there anything you want to...
One thing that I always think of that I kind of come back to is whenever I went to the Dominican Republic myself, I went down there and I had an awesome experience, and I really felt like, you know, God was doing some stuff in my heart. And I remember coming back and thinking, you know, these people are amazing, and this has just been such an amazing opportunity. And I feel like I really had started developing a passion for them then. But I came back, and for me, it was a little bit different than Scott. He was a little bit more on board for the whole moving overseas thing than I was. But I remember coming back and being like, oh, well, you know, that was a great experience, and I got a lot of stuff out of it. But I have a family. My dad's a pastor of a really small church, and I was really, really involved there. And I was like, I kind of... was like, I don't need to go. I have, you know, opportunities here. And just like what you said at the very beginning of the message, I just was like, well, some people are called to go and some people are called to stay. So I was like, I'm going to stay. And I think even back then, the Holy Spirit was calling me into that. And it took a really, really long time for me to quit running away from that opportunity that he's put before us. One thing that I do remember too, if you wanted to put a pinpoint on where we kind of made a decision, I remember in college we were dating, and one time we decided to go out on a date and have our little lovey-dovey time and come back, and Scott was like, well, okay, let's be serious. Let's have a serious conversation here. He was like, I really think that God's called me to go to the Dominican Republic, and if you're not okay with that, then you should get out of the car. And I was like... okay. So it was kind of at that point that
I don't remember it happening.
Smooth. Let me just say, smooth. Yeah. Smooth.
I feel like it was much more loving than that.
But anyways, at that point, I kind of, all those thoughts came flooding back to me about how God has spoken to me, you know, whenever I'd gone on those missions trips in high school. And it was over the next few years just of our marriage, there's a lot of nights of just soul searching, and both of us making sure that we got on the same page for that. But we're just really excited about the direction that we're going. That answers your question.
Good. That's a quotable quote. Yeah. If you're not on board, get out of the car. Yeah. All right. It'll be your son. Fantastic. All right. Angela, you grew up in Ohio.
Yeah.
You're a fellow Buckeye.
Yeah.
And Scott grew up right here. What if any? You mentioned liberty and the influence there. Were there things that took place in the life of your churches growing up that you could look back and say, okay, that's part of this process that God used?
Yeah, certainly being here at Bethany, I think the biggest thing that Bethany provided me, as I look back, and maybe this is just my personality or the way I think through things or whatever, but it was just the whole philosophy of what we teach here and how we do things and how we go about things is, because as a kid, I never said, oh, I'm going to be a missionary or I'm going to go over there. But missionaries were around all the time. I heard about missionaries, or I got to hear from missionaries, or I got to be around missionaries in everything that we did. And it was always, as I got older, I was like, well, maybe I probably won't be a missionary. But I was like, not going to close the door because, God can do whatever. And Bethany really, I think they have, I think the way that we do things here is just leaves those doors of possibility open for where people can, people can't shut the door because they see it all the time and it's always brought up. And then when they finally get to the point where they have to make a decision, then it's like, okay, well, now it's a real decision. It's not just, okay, well, I'm closed off because I've been closed off my whole life, but I really have to think about this and I have to see where God's leading.
Probably for me, the church that my dad pastors is on the south side of Columbus. It's not in the best area of town. And I basically kind of grew up in a mission field on myself. The people there culturally are different than me. And so I think that kind of prepared me for the direction that I took.
And again, in a few weeks, we'll have you come back and you can talk specifically about what you'll be doing in Dominican. But thanks for coming this morning and sharing your story. Yeah. They're presently living in Anderson and involved in what's happening in the life of Bethany, and as they're also preparing to go to Dominican. So if missionaries come from churches just like this, how about you? How about you? And age is not necessarily a factor. Well, it's a factor. But it isn't prohibitive. And being trained in a Bible college isn't prohibitive. In fact, from what I understand, there are many more openings for people to go to other places with other people who are trained in some other vocation than for a country being open to having somebody who's a preacher or missionary come in. So Scott mentioned those doors are always open. So is this something that as we talk or as you listen to Donna or to Angela and Scott, is this something that you would say, I know that God is prompting me to at least think about this? And if so, I would encourage you to talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Don't just leave that there on your own, but talk to somebody. Talk to some people. Talk to some who know missions. And just allow God to speak to you through those conversations. If it's not something that you presently feel like you're being prompted to do, I'd just say, how open are you to that? What if the Holy Spirit does speak to you? How willing will you be to go? How willing will you be to rearrange your life and make the necessary sacrifices and preparation to step out in faith and go? So this morning, in some ways, the sermon's for everyone. We have people in our homes, in our neighborhoods, where we work, who desperately need to hear the gospel just as much as someone on the other side of the world. So in some ways, this call to tell people about Jesus is for all of us. But in some ways, it's much more specific than that. It's a call or a challenge to those who God might be prompting to consider, think about, or pursue going to other people in other places and taking the message and love of Jesus there. This morning, I hope that if that is the case for you, that you don't leave here without saying something to somebody. Because once you speak those words, it allows God to work in ways that otherwise he might not be able to. And I think the reason that Scott and Angela or Donna or we as a church, you know, the reason people go and the reason we send is because we are absolutely convinced that there is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And there's no way they're going to know. There's no way we would know unless someone tells us. That's why people go. That's why we send. We know it's true. And we know it's true for each one of us. So this morning, if you're here as one who is not yet in obedience and faith, come to Jesus Christ to allow him to be your Lord and your Savior, we extend an invitation to, in faith, seek his forgiveness, accept his grace, and follow him. So in just a moment, we're going to sing. And that's a time in which we just invite you to come. So you want to be a follower of Jesus. But it is also an invitation in which I want to reverse the statement that we started with. The statement, not everyone is called to the mission field, but everyone can participate. I want to turn that around for right now and say, okay, everyone participates, but some go. Let me pray. Father God, we know that you so loved the world, and you so loved the world, and you have created all people and all places, and there are none that are more dear or more close, but you love the world. And Father, we pray that you might develop that love, continue to develop that love in the heart of this church and the heart of us individually. And Father, we thank you that this church has been a church that has been concerned about missions from its very beginning. We thank you for those who at the beginning of this church prayed that this would be a church that would send out missionaries. And Father, we thank you for answering that prayer. And we pray that you might continue to answer that prayer. Even if that means that you send out some of us. And especially as that means that you'll send out some of us. So, Father, we give you thanks. And we express our desire to continue to participate with you in this world. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.